Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Well, hi again, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. And if you've been closing your eyes for the past few years and hoping this XBRL thing will go away, I've got some bad news for you. It's here to stay, and it's getting bigger all the time. In the United States alone, all public companies will be required to file their financial statements via XBRL by the end of the year. And really, we're scrambling to keep up with the rest of the world. There are major adoption initiatives underway in, well, let's just go down the list here. Ireland, Italy, the UK, Spain, Germany, Denmark, Estonia, Japan, China, India, Australia, the United Arab Emirates, just to name a few. So the US has plenty of company here. I spoke via Skype recently with Connor O'Kelly. He's vice chair of XBRL International, and he discussed all of this and more, including opportunities and challenges in adopting XBRL, what the future holds, the implications for XBRL from things like new technologies and social media and IFRS. He had a lot to say, so take notes. Here's Connor O'Kelly. Now, here in the United States, anyway, more and more public companies have been using XBRL to file their financials over the past couple of years, thanks to that SEC mandate. Is it working the way that we've all imagined it would?
You know, I think so. I think we're at the stage now where the first wave of filers have filed. Clearly, we're into the detailed footnote tagging. You know, what we're seeing is a gradual migration from the bolt-on approach, which basically just took the 10K, 10Q and tagged it up, to more of an embedded solution. So, you know, we saw about 100 companies using built-in solutions at the end of September, with over 300 companies now using those built-in solutions at the end of December. And the migration appears to be accelerating. And that's going to bring lower production costs to the companies, of course. You know, I think what's very encouraging is initially XBRL US reported about 10,000 errors from that first set of large accelerated filers. And the errors were, you know, I would classify them as either tagging errors or, you know, signage errors where positives were reported as a negative or the signage was incorrect around them. There were some, you know, zeros reported with hashtags, etc. But the errors were relatively minor. And I think compared against the probably about 1 million data points of or items of data that were filed with the SEC, it was a fairly low error rate. So what XBRL now is doing, and we know it's doing, is helping to detect and eliminate errors in public financial statements at source, and they've been validated at source. You know, the AICPA has conducted a review in January 2011 that they've published. The number of tags seems to be increasing threefold. We would expect that as we go into the second wave and into the detailed note tagging. I think what's interesting is the use of extensions have increased fourfold and vary by industry. And the use of member tags, of course, has increased exponentially, and that's simply a byproduct, I think, of moving into the detailed footnote tagging. But here's what's important. It's evidence that CFOs are telling their own story with these extensions. They're breaking down the distortions in some of the, you know, traditional legacy data aggregation models, and they're benefiting from upstream transparency in the capital markets and contributing to better transparency in the capital markets, which of course is what XBRL is all about. You know, what we've delivered now at XBRL is real-time disclosure of public financial statements, mutual funds and credit rating agencies, which is now in place, transmitted in real time via RSS feeds and, you know, interactive social feeds, and making open web-based dashboards available to the market. So, you know, the XBRL US BRICS application, which is an iPhone application, now delivers real-time SEC financial data to mobile users. And we see the emergence now of easy side-by-side comparison of publicly filed data via the SEC IDEA program, or sorry, the IDEA platform, by, you know, some of the Edgar data, and now market-driven applications such as some of the Rivet Crossfire or Crossview example comes into mind. So, you know, interactive data is now posted on companies' websites, allowing the public to download and analyze the data. And it's produced at relatively low cost. You know, the embedded solutions and the tagging that was reported by the first wave of large filers, they're typically the implementation time is generally low, and they're reporting positive ROI. So, you know, they're generating real time savings in their close cycle, in their reporting cycle.
You've touched on some of this already, but explain to me, how is the marketplace benefiting from all of this?
What we've got now is, I think if we allude back to one of the findings of the European Parliament, and they conducted a study about a year and a half ago. So, you know, they recognized that the current financial crisis, of course, triggered by the subprime mortgages, spread worldwide due to the increasingly integrated and contagious nature of markets. They pointed to the fact that existing market regulation, at least in Europe, and supervision couldn't cope with it, and that significant reform was needed. They pointed to poorly regulated capital market intermediation and the shadow banking system, which had emerged at that stage as new sources of systemic risk. They pointed to exponential growth in derivatives, had increased risk and facilitated new methods of speculation. You know, they spoke about financial regulation and innovation, which was designed to diminish risk at the micro level, had in fact led to risk and exacerbated risk at the macro level, which amplified systemic risk. So there was a whole response around that, particularly in Europe, around capital market supervision and banking supervision, and the role of XBRL as a mitigating player and a technology enabler has been recognized, and of course is driving a lot of the XBRL implementations across the European community.
Implementation, are you noticing that the actual process of implementing XBRL is kind of smoothing itself out as time goes on? How are companies today doing with their implementation compared with the first ones that jumped on board?
Yeah, I think we've seen a move from the bolt-on solution. You know, this is where organizations typically outsource to a managed tagging solution provider, and they simply take the 10K, 10Q, they give it out, it gets tagged up, and it comes back in again. We are seeing a large pickup now, an accelerated pickup in embedded solutions, where XBRL taxonomy and XBRL workflow is embedded in the ERP environment or the financial reporting platform, whichever that is, and exported out from the source ledgers out into the reporting environment.
What are some of the challenges that you've noticed companies kind of encountering as they're implementing?
I think from a CPA, accounting perspective, I think one of the big misconceptions is that this is a regulator filing and a regulator protocol. I think one of the big challenges for CPAs is to understand that this is a supply chain standardization proposition, extending beyond the financial reporting process. It provides significant process enhancement opportunities right across the financial reporting supply chain. So from, regulation, capital markets into the exchanges, etc., rather than simply a regulatory compliance requirement that presents incremental cost and time, in setup, etc.
Let's talk a little bit about some ways that XBRL is being used or might be used beyond the financial reporting area. What kind of implications does this have, outside of financial reporting?
I think there are a number of areas. I think we're starting to see more discussions with XBRL around reporting into sustainability, corporate social reporting, etc. XBRL US at the moment, of course, has its corporate actions pilot program running with ISO and SWIFT. And we see more discussions around integrated reporting. So, you know, integrating financial with CSR, with sustainability reporting, etc. You know, all these discussions are going on. I think the other big move that we see is in what we call standard business reporting. This is typically at a national or a government level, where several or multiple government agencies come together around, you know, what they call joined up e-government. So you get an aggregation of or a consolidation of reporting to government departments. Typically, it could be a taxation agency, a company's house, you know, a statistics agency, all coming together and producing a single filing, which is typically aimed at reducing the administrative burden to the company. And rolling this out with an XBRL enabler. So, you know, we've got a number of those initiatives running across the European community at the moment, in Ireland, Italy, UK, Spain, you know, Denmark, there's a whole load of them. The Chinese government has recently rolled out a very ambitious program across 9 of its government ministries. And India, we know, is also looking at this type of deployment as well. So, the Department of Treasury and the Australian government, the government of Singapore, I believe, are looking at it, and the government of New Zealand are also looking at it. So, you know, a big move towards reduction of administrative burden by simplification, by legislative programs, by reducing audit thresholds, simplifying legislation, and then putting in XBRL as a workflow enabler and a technology enabler, whereby you upload your financial statements into you know, typically government portals, etc. So that's a big strand or a big aspect of adoption at the moment.
What are some other things that CPAs need to know about XBRL? What does all this mean for them?
I think the first thing is it's not going away. It drives and enables significant economic and process benefits, both in the firm and you know, inside the companies, and also at government level. And it's increasingly been seen as that. And the mandates that are coming out quite often are well resourced, well funded government programs, with, if needs be, a legislative background or a legislative framework behind it. So that's the type of deployment that we're seeing. So I think the second point is that searchable web-based reporting is likely to become the norm over the next couple of years. Already the UK Financial Reporting Council, the FRC, has published proposals in their report entitled Effective Company Stewardship, Enhancing Corporate Reporting and Audit. So they have endorsed XBRL and searchable web-based content and web-based reporting as very desirable. You know, CPAs don't really need to learn XBRL. They don't need to learn the technology and all of the semantics and the you know, architecture behind it. But they do need to understand what it means for process enhancement and information. You know, and like other supply chain standardization efforts, the impacts are reasonably predictable. So, you know, lower cost of production, lower cost of access, reuse and analysis of data, more timely data and more time available for analysis and insight development, increasing volume of relevant information for decision making, etc. You know, so I think CPAs are going to be spending less time on low value manual process steps and rekeying, and more time on developing high value intellectual insights. You know, cultivating their client relationships and maximizing their added value and their value propositions for their clients. I think, you know, Deloitte in Australia had done a study on this, and they got quite analytical about it, and they deployed an XBRL solution in-house internally in their tax practice, and they found they reduced their tax preparation cost inside their own tax practice by about 30%, and the upside of that was, of course, that they could devote more time to cultivating client relationships, and upside of that as well was, interestingly, that their staff reported more staff satisfaction. You know, they were spending less time manually rekeying stuff and hashing stuff into spreadsheets, etc.
Certainly the ways in which we consume information has changed radically over the last few years, thanks to the internet and social media, and these technologies are going to evolve even further. What does that evolution of the web mean for XBRL going forward?
I think that's very interesting, Bill. And I think equally, you know, what we could say is, you know, what does the future adoption curve of XBRL have and what implication does that have on the internet? So I think that, I guess there's an interdependency here. But look, in January 2011, XBRL International announced the XBRL Abstract Model Task Force, right? Quite technical. Good CBA stuff, right? But look, this task force was tasked with developing an abstract model that makes it easier for software architects and developers to create XBRL applications. So XBRL as an organization needs to grow with the internet and grow with social media and grow with how we consume and aggregate data, and also needs to grow, you know, with its members, I guess, with these big government programs that are rolling out. So, you know, the organization needs to grow. We've tasked this task force with looking at developing an abstract model that makes it easier for software architects and developers to create XBRL applications, make it easier to consume XBRL data, and also to produce XBRL data out into the environment. I think the migration, I think we're going to see a migration of implementation approaches from this current outsourced tagging solution to built-in, what we call embedded solutions, arising from this task force and the work they're producing. And that will produce, you know, cost and time and control enhancements, you know, and take work out of the last, you know, the painful last mile that companies go through to produce financial statements, etc., you know. I think down the road, the trend appears to be amongst these big government programs to, you know, for single portal filing. So where XBRL financial statements will be loaded into government portals, they'll be uploaded directly, possibly out of your accounting application, which we're already seeing in the United Kingdom. They will be validated at source. Right. So if you've got computation errors in there, you know, your XBRL application will say, hey, look, you know, your roll up of current assets isn't correct. You've got a computation error in your, you know, your shareholders equity number. You know, you've got a disclosure omission in, you know, one of your GAAP pronouncements. You know, are you happy to do this? Yes or no? So, you know, I think these are likely to be innovations that we're going to see over the next and best practice that we're going to see evolve over the next couple of years. And I think it means that a dialogue between the companies and their stakeholders and the analysts will increase over the internet, and leading to an exchange of more relevant information based on direct feedback from the consumers and direct publication of financial information from the companies.
So what's next? What else do we need to be watching about XBRL going forward?
Wow. So I think from an adoption point of view, again, I think this searchable web-based reporting is likely to become the norm. And I think, you know, several of the European accounting authorities have pointed this out as a best practice. So the UK Financial Reporting Council was one. I think these SBR programs, these big standard business reporting programs, government-funded programs in Europe, China, Netherlands will start to yield results. Looking around the world, you know, we see a lot of adoption between that now 2011 and say 2015. I think in Europe, the joined up e-government initiatives, most of them are a lot of them with the European Commission funding and background and legislative mandates will continue to run and produce results between now and 2015. We know we have them running in at least Ireland, Italy, United Kingdom, Spain, Germany, Denmark, and some of the Estonian countries. We expect from those programs to see accelerated, this is going to be interesting actually, we expect to see accelerated convergence of business registries, so companies' houses, with taxation agencies, and followed by statistical agencies, whereby these organizations all come together to produce a single financial filing or statement that goes into central government. Certainly amongst the banking sector, Basel II, Solvency II, increased work been done there, particularly within Europe and the Committee of European Banking Supervisors. Across Asia, you know, primary adoption drivers continue to be Japan, the Bank of Japan, again, Basel II, Solvency II. Tax agencies in Japan have taken it up on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. A big ambitious program rolling out at the moment within the Ministry of Finance in China, and the newly established XBRL China jurisdiction, I would expect that to have regional influence in mainland China and surrounding jurisdictions over the next year, 2 years. We've seen recently an announcement from India, the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, that potentially brings 900,000 Indian companies into scope for XBRL filing, again, between, I think, now and 2015. I don't think they've fully scoped that, or that scope has not been finalized, but I think certainly upwards of 9,000 companies in India in immediate scope for that, and potentially expanding to 900,000. The Australian Department of Treasury Standard Business Reporting Project has gone live in 2010, and we expect that will start to produce positive results over the next short time. US SEC, of course, in North America will continue to drive North American adoption. But the corporate actions pilot with SWIFT, ISO, and XBRL US, again, moves outside of financial reporting into corporate actions. We've got some exciting developments in the Middle East. The United Arab Emirates have recently enhanced their XBRL program via the Securities and Commodities Authority. So, and of course, you know, IFRS, can't forget IFRS. So we think IFRS and XBRL adoption, of course, is going to increase as IFRS adoption increases between now and 2015. So, you know, an awful lot going on, not only in the US, but right across some of the major, you know, G20 countries.
When you think about it, at least from my point of view, I mean, it's astounding how far this has come in such a short period of time.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a couple of drivers to that, Bill. You know, I think there's been a convergence of technology in that, you know, the internet has matured. I think there's been a convergence of technology in that XBRL as a specification has matured from its early inception. I think there has been an economic imperative, you know, the European program to reduce administrative burden. Its specific aim is to take 1.4 percentage points of GDP out of administration cost to make Europe more competitive. And then, of course, there's been the economic downturn and the, you know, recessionary demands from the public, if nobody else, to make government more accountable and more transparent. So all of these have come together, you know, inside the last 5 years. And I think they're, you know, it's a convergence of a number of those points that are driving some very large adoption programs at the moment.
Well, Conor O'Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Ben, and an absolute pleasure talking to your members.
That was Conor O'Kelly, Vice Chair of XBRL International. You can hear more about XBRL at any of our spring professional issues updates throughout Maryland. We'll also be discussing XBRL at the 2011 CPA Summit in Baltimore and at a January 2012 program called XBRL and the New Era in Financial Reporting, Moving Beyond Theory. You'll find details about all these programs at www.macpa.org. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.